Welcome to Beside the Burn for Monday the 19th of October 2020. And our theme this week is God with us. And as you can see, it's quite a Christmassy theme on the slides here on the video. But that want us to realise that this is a message that is for every single day of our lives and not just for Christmas. Of course, the passage that we're reading today is based around the Christmas story. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1 verses 20 to 23, and we're going to be thinking about that word Emmanuel, which means God with us. But this is a message that is much bigger than just Christmas. The theme for this week came about really out of sequence. This wasn't a planned theme for this week, because I had a little series already planned. And then speaking to Julie, who's in charge of our GB, we realised that Sunday past was our Girls Brigade enrolment service, or should have been our Girls Brigade enrolment service. So we decided to get lots of the girls to take part, and you can watch the service. There's a link to it below. And as a theme for that service, I tried to think, what could I say to our girls, and indeed to the families of our girls, during this pandemic time where everyone is worried, where there is so much uncertainty about the future, where we are unsure what to do and what to say? And what message would I give to those girls and to our GB, and indeed then for the rest of the congregation? And as I was thinking about it, this message of God with us just kept coming back to me and kept coming into my mind. And so I thought, right, let's share it. Let's talk about it. Let's explore it. And this week then, we're going to explore some of the things that we looked at on Sunday in a little bit more detail. This is the message, and indeed this is the slide that I used last Christmas in our Christmas series. And throughout that whole time, it was the message that God is with us, that he does not forsake us, that we are not on our own. And that is something that we need to be reminded of now, because, you know, look at what's happening in the world with the pandemic. We don't know what's going to happen. In fact, since we planned the service and until the service happened, which was little over a week, there were greater restrictions brought in, and we had to think very carefully about what we're doing as a church. And so the restrictions change week by week, and it's very hard to plan into the future at the moment because things change. You make arrangements to meet with someone, and all of a sudden you're not allowed to meet with them. So how do we do anything? How do we cope with all these shifting sands and changing circumstances? We remember this truth. God is with us. So let's read the passage and let's look at some of the verses together. So Matthew 1 verse 20, but after he had considered this is Joseph, and Joseph realizes that Mary is going to give birth. He realizes that they're not married yet, and he's not sure what to do. Should he divorce her quietly and not get married to her? But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of all that is taking place, Joseph is given this message. Don't be afraid. Do what God has told you to do. Do what you know to be right in these circumstances. Don't go off and do something of your own thinking, but do what God wants you to do. And he had been told that he was to take Mary and marry her as she gave birth. And in these uncertain times, that's good advice to us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to do what God has asked you to do. Do not be afraid to do the things that God wants you to do each day. It's very easy in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of all this uncertainty, to change our plans and to do what the world wants us to do. But we're to think carefully about what God wants us to do. In verse 21, she'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, obviously, we're going to be thinking much, much more about the name that's mentioned in the next verse. But here we have this name Jesus, and it's good just to remember what Jesus means, because he will save his people from their sins. These are two things that we need to remember in a world of uncertainty, that we can stand firm on this foundation, that Jesus has come to save us from our sins. Nobody else can save us from our sins. Nobody else can take away our sins. Nobody else can deal with our sins. And that is the reason Jesus came to this earth, so that he could deal with sin. And so God is with us and watches over us and helps us day by day to recover from our sins, to take away our sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And here's the words of Isaiah the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's not just a baby being born. This is God entering into the world in human flesh. We have been created in his image, and in this point of birth, God becomes flesh like us. He comes to identify with us, and he comes with the express purpose of dealing with our sin. God with us. There can be nothing more powerful. God doesn't remain far away. God doesn't remain distant, but he comes close. And he is with us. He is with us 2,000 years ago when he was born. He is with us today, and we'll be looking more at that throughout the rest of the week. But God is Emmanuel, and this is a wonderful promise for us today. And it was said in the days of Isaiah, and it holds true whenever he was born 2,000 years ago, and it holds true today for us. That God is with us. And that is a wonderful privilege. There are many religions in the world where they speak of deities and they speak of the divine, but the divine is always at a distance. The divine is always just slightly out of reach. But we have a God who is with us and will not leave us. And that is powerful. It's always a powerful statement when somebody is with us, whether they're there physically or whether we just know that they're with us in spirit. It is powerful whenever that happens. And so that is what God is saying to us. So let's take a moment to pray, and let's thank God that he is with us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, the one who has come to save us from our sins. We thank you for this wonderful name that Jesus has, Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank you that you are with us day by day in whatever we do. Lord, be with us now, we pray. May we always be ready to listen to you. May we be ready to follow you. May we be ready, Lord, to be guided by you each step of the way. And Lord, this week, as we think about this theme of you being with us, help us to realize the richness of our lives, because you are here. And you are part of our lives, and you never leave us. So, Lord, we give you the glory and the praise and the thanksgiving this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to Burnside at Home, Tuesday, the 20th of October. And we're continuing this theme of thinking about God with us. And today, after thinking about Jesus' birth, we move on to the next stage of his life that we read about in the Gospels, and we're thinking Jesus is with us. And we're going to look at the encounter that Jesus had whenever he went to the temple with his mum and dad, and how they left and thought that he was with them, when in fact he was still back in the temple and he was asking questions. And of course, there's a lot to learn about Jesus in this passage, the way that he's developing, he's growing, he's asking these questions, he's in his father's house. But then there's the perspective of his parents. As I said on Sunday, they were in this position that they set off home, that they assumed that Jesus was with some of the other family members in the group. And whenever they realized that Jesus wasn't there, they had to retrace their steps. They had to think about where was the last place that they had seen Jesus and go back there and start looking for him. And the parallels are very clear with us in our lives. We can get on with life. We can become busy. We can be doing all sorts of things. And we assume that Jesus is with us. And then we stop. And we realize, well, when was the last time that I saw Jesus? When was the last time I spoke to him? And as we rewind, we maybe have to go back several days, like Mary and Joseph. And then eventually we work out where we left Jesus. And we go back to him and we seek him again. So let's look together at Luke chapter 2 and verses 41 to 50 as Jesus is at the temple. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. I always remember as a child, whenever this story was read, thinking to myself, well, what's happened here? Jesus is disobeying his parents. And surely that is a big no. You can't do that. You're supposed to obey your parents. But we see this tension here with Jesus between his heavenly father and his earthly father. We see the way that he listens and understands Mary and Joseph, and he's being brought up by them. But then there's also this relationship with his heavenly father. And for us, we have the same situation where we have a heavenly father as well as an earthly father, and we're to also seek the things of a heavenly father as well. Doesn't necessarily say here that Jesus disobeyed them. He just simply stayed in Jerusalem and they thought that he was with them. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day and then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And that's a good thing to do. Think, where was the last time that you were with Jesus? Retrace your steps, go back there, and then see how you've deviated off without him, see the decisions that you've taken without him, see the things that need to be changed since you last were with him. And it's important that we pay attention to Jesus and that we do stay in his company and not just assume that he's there with us. Just get busy, go ahead and do things and forget to bring Jesus along. Now, of course, there's also that tension that Jesus never leaves us. He's always with us, even through the most difficult of times. And that also is true. But here we're seeing this idea of this close relationship with Jesus that we're supposed to have, that we're supposed to strive for. And if we don't make an effort in that relationship, then it's very easily left to one side. So verses 46 and 47, after 3 days, 3 days it took them, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus is asking questions, he's listening to answers, but he is also giving answers himself. And this must have been an incredible moment to be able to listen to Jesus speaking and to be able to listen to his take on the law and on God's word, his own word, that he is the word, the living word, and they are discussing the written word. And here we have this wonderful moment that to have been there would have been special. And yet so many who were amazed at his understanding perhaps missed the full significance of who he is and what he was doing. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And this is interesting, that even Mary and Joseph were astonished at what he was doing, yet they had been bringing him up. They had spent 12 years with him, looking after him. And I would love to speak to Mary and Joseph and to ask them, how did you get on with everyday life? knowing that you were bringing up the Son of God, because that must have been an awesome responsibility, that every time Jesus hurt himself or fell or whatever, were they thinking that this is the most precious gift that they've ever been given? How could they allow anything to happen to him? The responsibility not just of looking after their own son, but looking after the Son of God. And I wonder, did they continually think about that? Or did they put that out of their minds and just get on with normal everyday life, forgetting that this was a Son of God that they were bringing up, and that this was the Messiah who was with them? "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And is this not an incredible statement to be able to make? That if someone were searching for us, we would be able to say to them, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" That if we were as dedicated to our Heavenly Father as this, that we would be in his house, that we would be seeking him, that we would be in his word, and that everyone around us would just go, "Oh yeah, yeah. That's what we expect. That's exactly where we thought they would be. That's exactly what we thought they would be doing, seeking God and in his word." And so here we have this idea of thinking Jesus is with us. And it's not good enough just to think it. We need to know it and be certain that Jesus is with us. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us never to assume that Jesus is with us, but help us, Lord, to make sure that Jesus is with us. Help us, Lord, day by day to come to you and seek you. And we know, Lord, that if we seek you, you will be found. And Lord, as Jesus asked these questions and listened to the answers and gave answers, help us, Lord, to come to you and seek you and ask the questions so that you would supply us with answers day by day as we read your word, as we live for you. So, Lord, help us, we pray, to be with you each day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Wednesday, the 21st of October, 2020. We're continuing with our theme of God with us throughout this pandemic, that the greatest promise that we can know. And today we're going to see that after having God with us and then thinking Jesus is with us, today we're going to see Jesus instead of us. And this is a powerful moment in the life of Jesus, because this is his death. And this is the point where Jesus becomes our substitute and dies in our place. And this is the crucifixion and what happens at the crucifixion and the impact that that has on us. And this is something that we've been prepared for right throughout Scripture. Whenever Jesus goes to the cross and dies, this event doesn't just come out of the blue and we're left gasping at how could this happen, because the whole way through Scripture we've been preparing for this event. I think in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple, whenever somebody had sinned, the way that their sin would be dealt with would be to take an animal and sacrifice that animal and shed the blood of that animal. And the animal was that the sacrifice, the animal was instead of the person, that the animal was sacrificed, the animal died, their blood was shed so that the person could be forgiven and so that they wouldn't have to die. And so that's what we're seeing here. Jesus, instead of us, we are the ones who deserve to die. Wages of sin is death. The penalty for our sins is to be killed. But Jesus stands in instead of us. He is our substitute. He takes the punishment. He dies, and we then live. So let's read together from Luke chapter 23. "As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Large number of people who followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him." Now, this is an interesting little bit before we get to Jesus' death, where Simon is asked to carry the cross. And, of course, Jesus has said that unless we're prepared to take up our cross and follow him, then we're not truly following him. And this idea of the cross is really about death, where we need to pick up the cross. We need to be prepared to die for our sins. Or we need to be prepared to die, and we need to die to self day by day as we allow Jesus to take our sins upon himself. And so each day we confess our sin to him, we bring our sins to him as if we're putting them on the cross, and we ask Jesus to take them and to deal with them for us. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" Jesus is looking ahead to a time whenever disaster will come. And next week, we're going to be looking at a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in that passage, we'll see that Paul picks up a very similar theme to this, where Jesus is saying that the woman will wish that never had children. And Paul is saying you shouldn't get married because of the present crisis. You should concentrate on God because it's going to be difficult. And if you're married or if you have children, these things are going to be hard times to get through. And so Jesus is saying all that on his way to the cross. "For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed." And here we have these two other men, and we'll see how they feature and what happens as they are led out to be executed with Jesus. "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots." And here is Jesus coming to save people from their sins. And on the cross, as he is dying in agony, he prays for forgiveness for those who are crucifying him and those who are dividing up his clothes. And also, I suppose, for the criminals as well who are dying beside him. "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.'" And here is Jesus actually saving people. This is what he is doing. He is saving others by this act on the cross. If he had saved himself, then he wouldn't have been able to save the others. He has to give himself. He has to die so that our sins can be forgiven. "The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself.' But Jesus was proving that he was king of the Jews, king of the Gentiles, king of the world, by saving others rather than himself." And so we have Jesus fulfilling the reason why he came to this earth, to take away the sins of the world. There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself." Again, this theme of salvation that is coming back time and time again. And it's coming from so many people who misunderstand what salvation is. They think that Jesus needs to save himself when Jesus is truly saving the world instead. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." And here we have this nothing wrong is the reason why Jesus is able to save us, why Jesus is able to save people from their sins, because he himself is perfect. He has done nothing wrong, and he has brought salvation. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. And this has to be one of the most beautiful promises that we find in the Bible, where this man who is a criminal, who has lived all his life without God, has this startling revelation on the cross as he is dying, and Jesus assures him that he will be with him today in paradise. Jesus saves this man from his sins. He doesn't save himself, he saves this man. And in doing that, he saves many others as well. So salvation is here today, God with us, Jesus instead of us. He is the sacrifice instead of us. He dies instead of each one of us dying. So let's give thanks that Jesus is our substitute today. Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot thank you enough that you have died in our place. We thank you, Lord, that you have gone to the cross instead of us. We thank you, Lord, that you have taken our sins upon yourself instead of us taking our sins upon ourselves. And so, Lord, we praise you that you suffered and died to take away our sins. And today, Lord, we pray that if there is anyone who does not know you, who is not trusting in you for salvation, that they might come to you this day and find hope in you. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Thursday, the 22nd of October 2020. We're continuing our theme today, and on Sunday I dealt with this point and the next one all together in one, but we've got a little bit more time on our daily study, so I'm going to split these up. And today, as we think about God with us, we're looking at the theme of Jesus leaving us. And this is the one that we start to worry about, as it were. This is the negative one. So far, we've been thinking about God with us and instead of us. But now we've got this prospect of Jesus leaving, and we've got a couple of passages that you can read. We're going to look at Luke 24, Matthew 28 as well today. So let's read together from Luke 24. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So here we have the account of Jesus ascending into heaven. This is the ascension. He left them. And this could have been a disaster where these people had been following Jesus, they'd been listening to him, they'd already gone through the trauma of him being crucified and thinking he was dead. But then Jesus rose from the dead and brought them all hope. He spent 40 days appearing to them and teaching them and speaking to them. But now he leaves them again, ascends into heaven. He was taken up into heaven. But look at what happens now to the disciples. Whereas after the crucifixion, they were worried, they were frightened, they hid themselves away. Now they worship Jesus. And they return to Jerusalem, the place where Jesus had been crucified, the place of great danger, the place that they should have avoided. But they go back to Jerusalem, not frightened and scared, but with great joy. And this is the change that Jesus makes in our lives. That where once we have no hope, now we have hope. Where once we are struggling, Jesus comes along and helps us. Where once we were weak, Jesus brings his strength. And where do they go? They don't go to the upper room where they had met in secret before and tried to hide from the authorities. They go to the temple and they stay there continually praising God. They go to the public place and they make it clear that they are praising God because of Jesus. In the very place where the leaders were successful in crucifying Jesus. But because of the resurrection, everything has changed. Because of that, they now have hope and they are no longer despairing. So then the other passage that we were thinking about, Matthew 28. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I think this is an interesting little phrase. We're about to get on to the Great Commission, where Jesus gives them this message of going with the good news and into all the world and to preach and to teach. But here we have what happens in the world today. They worshipped him, but some doubted. And we've got this contrast, and we see it in the world today, where there are some who follow Jesus, and there are many who doubt Jesus. There are some who are prepared to obey him, and there are others who want to do nothing but disobey him. And so here we have this situation. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus here gives the Great Commission. Go, he says, make disciples. Doesn't just say go and live a good life, go and be the best that you can be. He gives us a purpose as his disciples to go and to make more disciples. And this is important. And we do it not on our own strength. Jesus is leaving here. Jesus is ascending. But we're not on our own, as we'll discover tomorrow. And here we've got Father and Son and Holy Spirit, the triune God, all together in his name. We go out and we do these things. And we teach others to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. And surely Jesus is with us to the very end of the age. God with us, we've been thinking about. And here, this is much more than just the stable in Bethlehem. It's much more than just Jesus as a tiny baby. This is a risen Saviour, a Saviour who has suffered, a Saviour who has died, a Saviour who has been through so much. And now he reassures us and says, whatever you go through, I will be with you. Whether it's a pandemic, I'll be with you. Whether it's an illness, I will be with you. Whether it's loneliness, I will be with you. Whether it's financial struggles at these times, I will be with you. To the very end of the age, Jesus says. So let's thank him now in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this reassurance that even though you left this earth, you're promising us that you will be with us right to the very end. That you're not just with us as a tiny, cute baby at Christmas time, but you're with us as someone who has suffered and died, someone who has been beaten and has gone through so much. And yet, Lord, you rise with victory over death, and you promise to be with us. So, Lord, help us to trust you now and to follow you and to trust you to the very end of the age. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Friday, the 22nd of October 2020. And today we conclude our studies for the week looking at God with us. As I was saying before, this theme came about because it was the Girls Brigade Enrollment Service. And I was trying to think that in the midst of all of this uncertainty of the pandemic, what would be the one message that I would want to give to our girls and to their families? And I thought, I want to give them Jesus, and I want to reassure them that Jesus will be with them and that Jesus will help them. And so we've been looking at God with us and thinking Jesus is with us and so on throughout the week. And yesterday we were thinking about God leaving us, Jesus leaving us, ascending into heaven. But here we have the flip side of that now today, that God is still with us. Yes, Jesus came as the baby in Bethlehem, but now he is still with us and will not forsake us. So we're going to read Acts 1, verses 7 to 11 today. Again, this is the ascension, but it's also then Jesus promising the Holy Spirit. And as we read on in Acts, we find out that the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and that God is still with them. So let's read together from Acts 1 verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." And so Jesus is very clearly stating to them that they're not to be guessing when Jesus is coming back again. The important thing is that they know he's coming back. The important thing is that they can rest assured that Jesus is coming. But in the meantime, they've got something else to occupy themselves with. In the meantime, they've got something else that they should be doing. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Yes, Jesus is leaving, but the promise of the Holy Spirit means that God is still with us. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, and God is with us. We're not going to be weak, but we're going to have power in the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be frightened because the Holy Spirit is with us. There is no need for us to be timid and quiet. We are to be witnesses, and we're to be witnesses right throughout the world and all these different places to the very ends of the earth. We're to take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with us under the power of the Holy Spirit and tell people about Jesus. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And this is Jesus leaving, ascending into heaven, with the promise that the Holy Spirit was coming, and then with the promise that one day he was coming back again. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Again, here is the promise. Here is the assurance. Don't stand looking up into the sky. Look, here's a promise. And this promise is something that you can rely upon. The same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back. This is a certainty. It's going to happen in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. So he's going to come back through the clouds again. But don't get preoccupied with that. Don't stand just staring, waiting for that to happen. You've got other stuff to be getting on with now. You're to be living in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're to be sharing the good news with others. So don't just stand and gaze longingly into heaven. Look at the earth around you and see how heaven can impact the people that you meet and the situations that you go into. You're not going into any situation alone anymore. The Holy Spirit is now with us. We're not having a conversation on our own. The Holy Spirit is in the midst of it. And so therefore, God has given us this purpose to go out and to be his disciples, to go and make disciples. And this is how we do it, with the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is Jesus asking you to do today that you couldn't do if he hadn't left his Holy Spirit? What task has Jesus asked you to do today that you will only be able to do because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you? That's a real challenge to work out what that is. Because it's very easy for us to try to do things on our own strength and just dismiss the Holy Spirit. But Jesus wants us to have the power of the Holy Spirit and then to do what he calls us to do. And that is our calling today and over this weekend, to think, what can the Holy Spirit do in my life? What can the Holy Spirit enable me to do in other people's lives? So let's ask Jesus now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would guide us now and help us to see what it is you want us to do. Lord, there are lots of things in life that we can do on our own strength, but there are also many things that we can only do under your strength. Help us to trust in you today, Holy Spirit, and find out what you are wanting to do in our lives. Make us attentive, Lord. Help us to open our ears to hear. Help us to listen to you today. And then, Lord, enable us to follow you and obey you. So, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.